big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of
as
the...
as special as all the others.
Well, that's very special indeed.
Yeah, they're like your children. It's very hard
to choose.
Yeah, Sophie's choice.
Actually, it's easier to choose amongst the children.
It's easier to choose the ones where you speak a little bit less.
Yeah. Oh, those would be hard to find.
They would.
Yeah. So anyway, my name is W. McWall. Yeah. And his name is Johnny James Rotten, a.k.a. The Great Interrupter.
It's going to
Interrupter.
Like that, is it?
Yeah. So, John, before we get truly going, I wanted to read you this message.
Yeah.
That someone clearly deluded sent me.
I can see you, because you forwarded this message to me yesterday, and some weird idea that we might actually prepare something for the podcast. I can imagine your little eyes lighting up when you see an email from a D. Geffen landing in your inbox, because you'd immediately be thinking, oh, well, yeah, obviously it's David.
It's David. I'm always saying to him, look, David, I keep changing my email. And
yeah,
you know,
you keep finding me.
Yeah.
Because obviously he wants to sue you about the Eagles, probably.
Well, this is from a Daniel
Geffen,
but only one F.
Well, I don't know. I mean, has he just changed that a little bit so that you don't,
sort of a hint.
He's trying to break away from his father.
Yeah.
Oh, his father, David Geffen. Yeah.
Who doesn't recognise him.
Well, I don't know if he recognises anybody. As he once said, I like to think of myself as being in the David Geffen business.
Yeah. Well, aren't we all, darling?
Yeah.
Aren't we all? So anyway, oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. Hang on. It says here, hi, Mick. Your show is fantastic.
Yeah.
You do an excellent... I love this bit. You do an excellent job of guiding guests through the conversation and telling their stories. Excellent work. You see, John?
See, in no way is
that
just...
guide you
in
as
no
a,
way is that just a template email that he sent to every podcast.
No.
No
I think
way.
It's
and
clearly
he's just inserted the word Mick.
It's clearly a long-term reader.
Yeah, it is. And obviously Daniel Geffen has spent hours going through the back catalogue.
So anyway, he says here, I have a guest who for your show who I think your listeners, he means readers, would enjoy.
Yeah.
And wait for it.
Okay.
Kid Faze.
Kid Faze.
Kid Faze.
Right, okay.
It says here, Kid Faze, that's F-A-Z-E.
You already see why Daniel Geffen is the idiot of the Geffen family. He's like being cast aside by David.
But you see, here's proof positive that he really is intimately acquainted with this podcast.
Yeah.
Kid Faze, born Matthew Fontill, is a hip-hop recording artist with countless hits and hundreds of thousands of streamed downloads.
Yeah, Kid.
Countless hits.
Matthew Fontill.
Well, Kid Faze.
Kid Faze.
Kid
Faze. That's his real name. Yeah.
So which of his countless hits do you
recall? I remember Kiddo Boy. That's one that's in the press release. The countless hit Kiddo Boy.
Ah.
Anyway, topics Kid can discuss when he comes on the show.
Yes,
he will
like
be on the show.
Of course he will. He's done a heading. Topics Kid can discuss.
This is the purpose of the email.
Absolutely.
Because Kid is going to come on the show.
If we're lucky.
Probably next week. Oh, I probably won't have to come. Well, you can do the show with Kid, your close friend Kid.
Well, you know, he's had countless hits.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want to read it out?
Okay, this is his first subject for discussion, as if we would discuss this. Why music sucks right now. and how to bring happiness back to the world.
You see,
I mean, kid, I feel his pain.
I feel his pain.
Yeah, but kid, if you're having countless hits, why does music suck?
Yeah. Well, you see, when you're a true artist,
I suppose he's like Kurt Cobain, isn't he?
He's a bit like Kurt.
Yeah, and that
who faked his own life.
Well, even massive success, you know, people going, "Oh, Kirk, you're so great all the time. Do you want to be on my magazine cover?" Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You know, do you want all this big? I've got David Geffen on the phone. I've got a big bag of money for you here.
No,
Kirk. Do you want it?
No. Well, if it was me, I'd say no. Yeah. I'd put the phone down, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, that's what he did, yeah.
So long ago, I'd have a phone that I could put down.
Put the phone down, picked up his gun. That's what he did.
Wow. Okay. I like number two. This is what Kid can discuss. How to create generational change through the power of music.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know how to do it. Well, don't we all?
No, because I would have thought if there's any more generational change, you might get shuffled off the fucking edge, mate. I'd watch yourself. There.
Countless hits.
Yeah, countless hits. But, you know, at this end of the generational change, we tend to not like it so much.
No, we
want generational stasis, please.
Do you know how many
as you said to me, I just wish it was 1987. That's what you said. I just wish it was 1987.
I do. You know,
when you were big, you were known as Big Mick Wall. Big Mick, not just a little Mick Wall that you are now.
No, I was big. I was big all over. I was going to say, how many top rock podcasters called John and Mick does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
Change? Change? No? Okay.
No.
So what's number three, John?
I don't know.
I'm starting to run out of road with both Daniel
Geffen and Kid Faze or whatever he's called. The evolution of how music is consumed and why it matters.
Well, I can answer that.
Yeah.
Radio, telly, internet, phone.
See, radio, that's where all the kids are getting there.
Yeah.
All the kids go straight home into their rooms and put their radios on. That's just what they do.
That's kids.
Yeah, kids today.
Kids.
Not like in our day.
No, God, no. Well, there wasn't any radio music on the radio in those days. Unless you enjoyed, Sir Harry C. Kilmore.
Yeah, Jimmy Young, whatever his name was.
Young. Yeah. I mean, he was young. Didn't Jimmy Young sing Puppy Love, the original?
No, well, I don't know.
Anyway, on to the next one. It says here, how Kid went from a life of crime to building a brand while on probation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
That sounds a bit like you,
doesn't
it?
That's a bit more like it, isn't it? Because if you are... There's no point being a rapper unless you've just come out of prison, is there? I mean, I don't want to typecast, but that pretty much is the genre. I mean, you don't have a lot of credibility if you've not been arrested a few times.
Sure, absolutely. You know, that's probably where he got his name, Kid Faze.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. In no way is he a middle-class kid from probably, Maidenhead or somewhere.
No. Well, I'm going to tell you who he is in a minute. But So the final...
Well, you know who he is. He's Matthew Fonthill.
Yeah, but they've included a biography. Because obviously you're now fully intrigued.
Yeah.
And finally, he can talk about bringing music to the metaverse.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
Creating a digital character that affects positive change in the world.
Well, how many people do you know who are in the metaverse?
Well, me, obviously. Yeah, I mean, I've been living there a while now.
Yeah. And I mean,
are you not in the metaverse,
John? No, surprisingly.
Is there
not
no metaverse on Millionaire's Row where you come from?
There's not a metaverse in Fleet, no.
Okay, well, I'm not going to bother with the bio. It's, a bit boring.
So that's our first ever offer of a guest. And it's come from Geffen Records, and we're turning it down.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The sort of show it is.
Yeah, we're very particular.
Yeah.
Who we have on?
Yeah, well,
so far nobody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how
rarefied the guest list is.
Very select.
Yeah. I mean, so if you'd like us to have guests, dear readers, do drop us a line and let us know who you'd like to hear.
Well, it's funny you should say that because this kind of segues nicely into what we're now going to talk about, which is our forthcoming spate We're
going on the road.
We're going to invade these shores.
Yeah, that's right.
We are.
We're going to do Donington, and then immediately after Donington, we're going to announce a UK tour.
Followed by...
like Iron Maiden.
Yeah, a UK Christmas tour.
Yeah, Christmas.
And we're going to do
just
Donington
to reward the fans. So just to reward you readers, listeners, just as a special reward... we're going to invite you to pay to come and see us.
At Donington.
I don't think it is Donington.
I've got a much better idea for the kids.
I think I might have misconstrued the email.
No, this is for the kids.
Oh, yeah, the kids.
We're going to announce...
I'm sure all the readers are quite young, I'm sure.
They're younger than me.
Can I just say that we will be playing easy access venues? You will be able to get in and out.
Do you know, when I was doing the Francis Rossi tour, the book tour, the original one, there was one in 2019.
The one you got thrown off of.
No.
Well, he's still on tour, so I can only presume. Someone said to me the other day, Francis Rossi, Francis Rossi's doing a gig near me. Is Mick doing that one? I said, I don't think he's on the poster.
It's funny how they quite often neglect to mention that fact in the promotional
It
material.
Is, yeah, because as I said, someone said to me, is Mick doing it?
And you said no. And
I said,
and
I
he
don't
said, but
know.
It says
I
here.
Said, I just don't know. Because no one knows what you're going to do.
No one knows. Yeah. That's the beauty of me.
But it does make booking a tour quite difficult.
But easy because access. Shut up. Let me tell you this story. Easy access, okay? So before the Rossi, we did 36 shows in 19 and 28 in 21.
The good old days.
And before the show every night, he'd do a meet and greet. And being Francis, of course, you know, especially after the COVID thing, you know, you can't touch him, you can't go near him. I had to take their phones and take a picture.
So you were fulfilling a multifunctional role.
I was meta.
You were in no way just the lackey.
Francis?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get onto the easy access because it blew my mind. But it just reminded me, they go, well, they'll give you their phones and you can take the picture. Okay.
Yeah.
Some of those phones, man, they look like they hadn't come out of, you know, the fucking basement in 30 years. I mean, they were disgusting. Other people turned up with like a box brownie.
Yeah. You had to go under the little hood.
A little bit. Well, yeah. And then there'd be some absolute fucking lunatic. You get this almost at every show. One lunatic would turn up and he's got a camera bag. He's got cameras with these huge long lenses. I'm like, mate, haven't you got a phone? Yeah. He's like, no, it's easy. You just have to adjust.
It's like being with Ross.
You just have to look
into my lens.
So anyway, dealing with the public, but particularly Francis's public, so the lunatic quotient is really high. There was one bloke came in and he sat down next to Francis. This is before COVID, so you could sit down right next to him and really get in his face.
Yeah.
And this bloke goes to him, Francis, oh, hello, how are you? And he goes, I followed your advice. And Francis is like, what?
I'm glad he did that because that's a classic fucking Rossi trick if ever you interview him.
Oh.
If you phone on the phone and he'll just come up, start the whole thing with some non sequitur.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh, your trousers, the diddly day. I mean, you got a fucking cunt.
No, that always makes me laugh, you see. I find that refreshingly boyish.
I won't hear a word against Francis.
So he goes,
I followed your advice.
And Francis goes, what's that? He goes, you remember?
No.
Francis goes, no. He said, we were in Wales. He goes, the gig in Cardiff back in, you know, like 88 or something. He goes, I was at the side.
Yeah.
He goes, and at the end, you looked at me and you said, never cut your hair. He said, so I never did. And he had all the realised he had all these pins in his hair, and he started undoing the pins.
Oh,
and this
my
hair,
God.
And the bloke's about 50. His dark hair starts rolling down, almost to his waist. And he goes, "I didn't wash it either."
Oh my God!
And we're all going, "Ah!"
And you you're underneath the box, ready to make
no,
that.
No, I've got
sound
the cunt's phone in my hand. I'm going,
never washed it.
And Francis is like backing away. Yeah. And I swear to God, John, you could see movement in this.
Yeah, room. Well, you would. Yeah.
Don't you remember? Oh, yeah. Now you come to mention.
I'm so glad this happened to him. I'm really glad.
Hey, wait till they start coming up for us. So anyway, talk about easy access. I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating.
So this is still the same story?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Easy access. I haven't got to it yet. So at least once or twice a week. It felt like every night sometimes. But you'd go, who's next? Because you kind of try and get them in and out quick. I don't care. But
these people who paid large sums of money to meet and greet with Francis.
Well, we know how much Francis loves his fans. Yeah. So it's like, next, come on then. And suddenly in comes, honest to God, a person in a hospital bed lying down with a fucking, what do you call it? Drip in their arm on the apparatus.
I'm not sure I believe this.
I swear to God. Not like, oh my God, who ever heard of such a thing? Practically every week one of these would turn up.
They'd
I swear.
A hospital bed?
Yes. Right. With a, I don't know what you call it, but the drip, you know, where they put it in your arm, it comes with a separate piece of apparatus. And they'd be going, Jamie, we're here. Status quo is here, Jamie. And you go, and I go, have you got a phone? I can take a picture.
This is awful.
So Francis would come over, play like willing, you know, because we couldn't put them on the stage to sit next to him. He had to come over and sort of pose by them. So he'd be like doing this kind of friendly Francis pose, and they'd be in the bed with the drip. And I'd be taking pictures.
That's not funny.
That's not
I'm
remotely
laughing, but it's
funny.
Not funny.
But you're crying inside.
I'm crying inside. And I'm also envisioning, you know, people whose last request is to see you. Imagine the life they've lived.
Well, no, what usually happens is they want to see me.
Yeah.
And then they see me and they say, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the last time. Yeah. Now
they
I want to die.
The, pay for the meet and greet to finish.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. So,
as you launch into your umpteenth story.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Speaking of umpteenth story, where were we? We were about to say something. We're going to do gigs, aren't we?
Yeah, and there'll be easy access.
I don't know if they will be easy access.
Well, they're upstairs in the pub, but I mean, if you can get the hospital bed up the stairs, you're very welcome.
You see, you say easy access. Yeah. I say all access. Oh. In fact, what I say is all excess. Because, you know, once we're on the road, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean anything.
Guys on the anything. Yeah. Anything could happen. There might not be tea bags in the room. Yeah. That would cause me to smash the joint up.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm bored. What's it like on the road? Boring.
Yeah, everything's boring.
Everything's boring.
Yeah.
So, no, we're going to be doing some shows. We are going to confirm date. Probably by the time this goes out, we will have announced.
Will we?
Announced.
Where are we going to announce them? I don't think we have a platform to announce
them.
Well,
no, I have a Twitter feed that you do as well, though I notice a remarkable absence of any pod-related content.
Twitter's dying. I can't.
Well, we're
going to
have to announce it somewhere, mate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where are we going to announce it? Twitter's not even called Twitter anymore, is it?
Well, people still call it Twitter.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
The popular vote in the court of public opinion, which I pay a lot of attention to. My life is dictated by how others see things. It's still Twitter. I mean, trouble with X is... Yeah, you say, oh, did you see that tweet?
Yeah.
What do you say with an X? Did you see that X?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
What's that? Take that X and shove it up your double X, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing these shows. We will have announced by the time this goes out. Because it'll be
through
an all-points announcement.
What was the name of that John Jackson, that guy? What was the name of his agency? They always used to announce the big tours. And Jeff Barton, when you phone John Jackson, Jackson, to get him to tell you what tours are coming up.
Well, there was ITB, which was Rod McSweet, and John Jackson was the other one.
The other one, yeah.
I can't remember what it was called. Was it called John Jackson?
No, it was called something like Running Free or something.
Yeah. Running Free. Yeah. Well, Iron Maiden had a connection there, but we won't go into that.
Well, no, we should go into that.
I don't think we will.
You should.
No, God bless you.
Oh, no, now I'm interested. What's this? Let's winkle it out of him, readers.
No. So what's going to happen is that where the pod appears on that Spotify page, there'll be a link. You're able to click it and you're able to purchase tickets.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And let's hope they're expensive.
Let's hope they're not. Otherwise, no one will come. Although we will be unveiling. Yeah. Unveiling a VIP package.
Where
you pay hundreds of pounds to get to come and sit in our dressing room.
Yeah.
Which you know what that will be. Yeah. That door with the word gents on it.
Yeah.
Are we still allowed gents or are we just nothing between the legs? I'm just being woke.
Are we still allowed gents? That's your concession to wokeness.
It's a fair question in this day and age. I mean, you don't know where you are, do you?
Yeah. Well, we know where you are, in the toilets, fiddling about.
So we're going to be announcing. It's going to be at the moment, because, you know, it could change by popular demand.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We might have to upgrade to the Hammy O.
I'm sure. Yeah.
At least one a month, possibly end of September, the first one, but definitely October, November, December, and onwards.
Christmas presents for everyone.
From you, definitely, yeah. I'll leave that one in your capable
hands.
Leave
the merchandising to me.
Santa's sack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mick Wall's sack. Who wants to put their hand in Mick's sack? That'll be the first question.
But first, I have to sit on Johnny's knee, don't they? Come and sit on Johnny's knee. Lisa. We should do something like that. Anybody, any women, what do you call them? Women that want to dress up as Lisa Dominique circa 87.
Yeah.
Gets in for free.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with that.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah.
We'll see what the promoter has to say about that. I think that's fantastic.
I think it's a great idea. And, of course, you realise anyone can declare themselves a woman now. I mean, it's...
Oh, no. See, you've just...
Well, you can't...
Shit on the whole idea. I don't want beardy guys dressed as Lisa turning up. That would cause me so much brain trauma.
Yeah.
I might not be able to make the show. The thing is, you can't disturb us after the show because we need that 15 minutes to stand in a corner.
All you can do after the show is buy the merchandise.
Which, of course, there'll be an extensive range.
reasonably priced.
Very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to rip off the kids.
No way.
Spread rumours and lies.
And if you come dressed as Lisa Dominique, you get your choice free. you can have one thing free from the merchandise stall.
I think there will only be one thing to sell on there anyway, so that's fairly good. Yeah. Speaking of which, you had a Get Your Rocks Off mug, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I had one. I broke it. I know. It's sort of symbolic.
Anyway, we need to up the level of the show. Talking about broken mugs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, okay. Right, John. Over to you.
Over to me. Yeah, well, what's been happening in the world of rock? That's what we need to talk about. There's been a missive in the dealer case.
The saga of the dealer.
Yeah, goes on. Because, I mean,
it will
there is
end.
One voice we've all been waiting to hear. I mean, I know I have. I don't know if you have.
Well, do you know, it's like...
Because there's been someone... I mean, it's like there's, you know, the six pillars of Motley Crue. I mean, however many pillars are... But you go through the names, you know, Vince Neil, Tommy Lee, Nikki Sixx, The Dealer, Mick Mars, Doc McGee. That's five pillars for a start.
Yeah.
Then you go... John, 5.5, who, to his credit, hasn't said anything either way
yet,
because he's keeping his.
If you want to know about John, 5.5, you just got to listen to the music. It's all there.
It's all there. But then
he
there's
leaves
one
it on the table.
I mean, we're all thinking of the same name at this point, aren't we? For
Absolutely.
His intervention, the other singer in Motley Crue, as opposed to the other bass player, who sadly. Can't speak because he's no longer with us. But if you missed it last week, Nikki Sixx did admit that he didn't play bass on the first, I think Motley Crue albums.
Well, no, he said...
And Mick Mars said he wasn't playing on the last tour either, despite Bob Rock saying he's actually had lessons and it can now play the bass.
Yeah, but he started having lessons in 2015, according to
Bob. That's
so Motley Crue
albums.
I'd say that's
when you've had a long-standing career as a bass player, that's quite late to be taking it up.
I suppose it is if you think about it like that. Yeah. I mean, at that point, Nikki would have been almost 60.
Yeah, he's late 50s.
Nikki 60.
Yeah.
John 5.5.
Yeah.
Vince Fat Elvis Neil.
Yeah.
And
the
Tommy,
dealer. Tommy Lee. He's still going around, by all accounts, just being Tommy Lee.
What else would you want him to be?
Hey, dude.
Have you seen my enormous wang?
Yeah.
Yes, Tommy. Yeah. We've all seen
it many times. Put it away.
Yes.
Yeah. And so there's one more name. There is one more name. Come
let
on.
Let me think hard. Yeah. It couldn't
there's
be.
There's been two bass players. There's been two guitarists.
Yeah. Only one drummer.
And I'm sure Tommy Lee did leave, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know
if
he left while there was a tour on, so they wouldn't have got.
He didn't leave like when they were getting paid millions.
Yeah, no, he left.
No, he left when they weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
So does that count as leaving, or does that count as? Because he went off and started his own group, didn't he?
Yeah,
do you remember?
He did Methods of Mayhem.
Yeah,
they were called. Very good.
Yeah,
they were
great band.
Very edgy.
What was your favourite track?
Track 3. Yeah, that was my favourite.
Always.
Yeah.
Now, that was everyone's favourite.
Everyone's favourite,
That was the single, I think,
track
wasn't it?
Track 3.
So, I'm going to put the readers out of their
Well, they've misery. Guessed. I mean, they've guessed, because they're waiting to hear as well.
The legendary.
Yeah.
The one and only.
The other singer in Motley Crue.
The one album and done.
Yeah, one and done.
One and done.
Yeah.
John Corabi.
John Corabi has spoken.
He has. And what did he say, John?
Well, John Corabi has come, amazingly enough, has come out in favour of the other, you know, the other big star in Crue, John 5.5.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the two Johns.
Yeah, the two Johns, yeah. And John Corabi has said,
while you find
okay,
it.
Okay, you tell us about the crab.
Because
that's what they call him.
Notes
the
seem
crab.
To have blown away. For what?
They call him the crab.
They call him the crab.
Yeah, that's his nickname. The crab.
They weren't just saying has
the
crabs. I once said to Slash, I was doing this questionnaire thing for a magazine.
What's your favourite colour?
Yeah, exactly. And
have
I said
you got
to him,
crabs?
What's the strangest present any fan ever gave you? And he went, crabs. Then he went, no, don't put that.
Yeah, don't print that.
That's why I absolutely printed that.
Because that's just one of the many diseases I've got. Porn stars and so on.
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Yeah. Anyway, none of this stuff, all of this shit that's going on between Mick and them, none of it surprises me, says the crab. Right? It doesn't. And John's got big shoes to fill, because everyone knows, you know, the dealer's got fucking massive fuck-off feet.
Has he?
Yeah.
The dealer?
Giant plates of meat, huge hands. That's why he's so good at the guitar, yeah.
Well, you know what they say?
He's got, like, have you ever seen those pictures, you know, like the Slender Man? Have you ever seen the Slender Man, that internet meme? And it's like this mystery creature that's people started photoshopping into pictures. We'd, like, be standing in the woods, but it's just like... He's like a normal guy, but he's like 9 feet tall and very, very thin. Mm. The Slender Man.
The Slender Man.
Well, he's got like massive long hair. Like, just like, anyway, Nick Martin.
Yeah, never heard of that. Big, are you sure you weren't just plates, having a drug
big
overdose?
Big plates of meat the old really? Dealer's got.
Well, you know what they say about men with big feet?
No, I don't.
Big shoes?
Yeah. Yeah, you're still in the Clark's child's department. Getting your little shoes for your little feet, bless him.
5 and a half.
Still got your school shoes.
5 and three quarters. Yeah. A little compass in the heel. Yeah, a little compass in the heel.
Little wheels that you can skate along in.
Wheelies. Yeah. Who doesn't love a wheelie?
Yeah.
Although at my age,
though, you
I
could
might
promise when we do when
open.
We do the amazing live tour, you could wheelie onto the stage.
That's
That'd
a really
good,
good
yeah.
idea. Yeah. That's a great idea, John.
You know, like, you know, Dave Lee Roth used to come on and do a star jump. your thing could be wheeling on the stage.
Onto the stage, straight off the stage, into the meagre crowd, out the fucking door,
immediately,
mate.
Yeah.
Where's he gone?
Yeah.
He just fucked off. He takes off. That he's was, like Axel. He doesn't...
Yeah, he's unreliable.
He's unreliable. Well, he works to the beat of his own drum, you know?
And anyway, and John, that's John Fivenhart. And John's got big shoes to fill and he's kind of stuck in this. That's what the crab says. And trust me, I get it, because I was stuck in this shitty place as well. Yeah,
Back to me. Don't forget me.
Remember me, kids. Stuck in this shitty place as well between Motley Crue and whoever was being replaced's fans. Whoever was being replaced? You mean Vince Neil?
You mean the singer?
The long-time singer and frontman of Motley Crue.
Yeah.
There were people in the Motley Crue crowd who still wanted to see Vince. That's, you know... That's,
outright. See, I think John... That's astonishing. What's his name again? The Crab.
The Crab.
I think he's been treated unfairly.
Yeah.
He's been put in a pinch. Hey? Hey? Oh, the Jesus. Crab? Hey? Yeah. He's trying to...
Anyway...
He's trying to... claw back his reputation.
Anyway, he goes on.
To me, that's a sideways move.
Yeah, just the... That's the tumbleweed blowing down podcast street.
Hang on, listen.
As people tune out.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, you know what I mean, says the crab. I had to deal with the fans that were massive Vince Neil fans.
Oh, how
no
awful.
No shit, I mean, hang on. The people coming to see Motley Crue were Vince Neil fans.
See, it's
and
just
I get
not
it.
Fair.
And it was awkward at times to sit and listen to the guys do interviews where they went out of their way to slag Vince. I mean, hang on, what? Nicky was slagging off Vince. I can't believe.
Nah.
In an interview, he slagged off Vince.
Nah.
Yeah. I didn't even know the guy, says the crab, so I had nothing shitty to say about him.
What is he talking
Having
about?
Having just said something shitty about him.
Seriously, what is he still whining about?
So he's
about?
Whining that when he was in interviews, Nicky Six was sitting there going, no, this new guy, you don't know him, but he's called the Crab. This new guy, the Crab, he's fucking great.
Here he comes crawling now.
Yeah, you can speak. You've got your 40-minute interview with him in a minute, right? Once you've asked me all the Vince Neil questions. And I'm telling you, Vince is a dick and he's out of this band. And fucking good riddance, because that dick can't hold a note.
And he'll never be back.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you ever want a template for how to handle replacing someone in a band, Ronnie Dio, an Aussie.
Yeah.
You know, you strut in, you go, here I fucking am. You make a killer album, and then you go, that other guy couldn't carry a tune in a fucking suitcase. Put out a press release to that end. You invent your own symbol.
Based on an Aussie thing.
That everyone immediately starts doing. And you start a war in the press, which Ozzy has to fire back in. Yeah. And that's how you do it.
That's how it's done.
You do it.
That's not how it's done.
By going, what was it you said?
Or,
I was stuck. Did you ever hear Ronnie Dio go, I was stuck in between fans of Ozzy and fans of Tony Iommi, and I was stuck in the middle.
Or Sammy Hagar.
Yes, Sammy.
That's a good one. I mean,
Sammy's
David Lee Roth.
Strutting around with his fucking shirt off.
Yeah. What about me?
Fuck David Lee Roth. I'm Sammy Hagar, mate. Here I come.
Yeah, and I can sing and play guitar.
Yeah, I sing. I do it all,
I can't even remember the Crab's voice. Can you? No, was it any good?
It was crab-like. It's like the sound of the sea. You know, when you put a seashell up to your ear.
Oh,
that's what the Crab that's was what like. It, ah. No, that was their grunge era, wasn't it? He came in, he got the gig just at the right time as grunge came
Did
in.
He have a goatee?
I think he probably did.
No.
I think he probably did.
No.
Yeah, and he was probably, he probably said stuff like, I'm friends with Kirk and Eddie, big chums with those guys.
Yeah.
In fact, I was on the verge of joining Pearl Jam when the phone went. I couldn't resist.
Yeah,
I couldn't resist. Yeah. when it went.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Crab goes on. The Crab goes on. He's not finished yet.
Oh, sorry.
Having
carry on.
Fucked off, Vince Neil. He's not finished yet.
No.
I love John. He says he's
John,
not talking
about John
himself.
Five and a half.
Yeah, he's talking about John Five and a Half. I love John. He's great. And it's weird because I have nothing but mad respect for John because I've known him for a gazillion years. My manager used to manage him. What a gig
that
guy's got.
That's how well I know him.
What does that guy do? That manager, his speciality is getting people for Motley Crue. Who then get fucking thrown out the back.
I like the way my manager used to manage him.
Used to manage him, yeah.
Before he got the gig.
Yeah, well, he probably got him into the band anyway. So I've known about him forever, and he is an insanely talented guitar player. Yeah, I mean, he might be insanely talented, but he hasn't written Girls, Girls, Girls,
no,
has he?
No, insanely.
He hasn't written... I'm trying to think of another. Dr. Feelgood.
There you go.
Dr. Feelgood. You didn't write that.
All right.
Yeah, he didn't.
He's the one that called Dr. Feelgood.
And tell you what, Crab, you didn't sing it like that either.
No.
Like, not like Vince sang it.
Yeah.
Girls, girls, girls. That's the great mistake. You don't need to be a singer to sing that. That was Vince's specialty, was turning out songs that don't actually need to be sung. Yeah, I mean, sadly, he's fallen even beneath that bar these days. But
well, he's venturing into new territory as an artist.
Yeah. He's sort of like an he's an anti-singer. He's exploring the boundaries of vocals. Yeah, that's what he's doing.
he's going where no vocalist
would dare to go. The Crab has got a manager who also manages John Five and a Half.
Used to.
And what do they have in common? They've both been, shoehorned into Motley Crue at various times.
To no one's joy.
All anyone's waiting for now is the dealer to come back or to win his lawsuit.
But would you be suggesting, John, that Motley Crue, who some years ago... signed an oath in blood saying this is our final tour, farewell tour.
Yeah.
We've signed it in blood. That's it.
Yeah.
And then came back.
But that's because you see, they uncovered a rare tort of law, which is that if it's signed in blood, it's not legally binding.
Right.
It has to be signed with a pen.
See, that's what the kids don't understand.
They don't understand that blood. I found you a picture of the Crab.
Oh, come on, let's have a look.
This is what he looks like now.
Now or his heyday?
Well, I guess it's now.
Fucking hell, are you kidding me?
That's the Crab, mate.
Fuck me.
That's the Crab. He could fucking do you over looking like that. I wouldn't get too lippy.
Well, what, not if you and I joined forces.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother.
Oh, cheers.
You're on your own, pal. You said all the nasty things about him. I said he was great.
I would never say anything nasty about the Crab.
About anyone.
Or indeed anyone called the Crab.
Yeah.
No, he looks... hang on. He looks... To be perfectly honest with you, he looks like a middle-aged guy who's clearly gone bald.
Yeah.
Hence the scarf. And when they wear the dad sunglasses, that's always a giveaway for like, I'm really old, but I still want to look young.
Yeah.
And then that beard.
Yeah.
See, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So you and I have what's known as hipster beard.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hipster beards are big ones, aren't they? Sexy beards.
Yeah.
Trim.
The chicks love our beard, you know. They see our beards and they go,
chicks love our beards.
Never mind the rest of him. Just, get it.
Check out the beard.
Check out that.
But poor old crab there. He didn't get the memo.
No, he didn't. The crab. The crab, yeah. Yeah.
In fact, he looks like he's gone for a hipster beard. You know those big, long, like a ski slope?
He looks like he says the words, "I used to be in Motley Crue," at least 10 times per day.
They beg me not to leave. Yeah, they said, guys, destiny.
You know, just one album, and one and done. That's me. That's the crab.
That's how the crab
That's
rolls.
How the crab rolls.
That's how the crab, rolls. Shuffles.
The crab is going to sidestep back into obscurity now.
Except for those occasions where he comes back to comment.
When you're dissing his managerial stablemates.
Well, former.
Well, he said former, but I...
he said former.
But that's probably because, you know, the John 5.5 has had to surrender all, you know... He's probably not even a person anymore. He probably has to just give his passport to Nikki Sixx and all of that stuff. You know.
Well, probably the manager went, "Now, come on, boys. My boy here, 5.5, he's worth more than that."
You know that bit in the Metallica documentary when they're trying to get a new bass player and they hold auditions and they get the guy who they've got now, the one who was in, what was he in, Suicidal Tendencies or something? Robert Trujillo.
Trujillo.
Yeah.
The whiskey samurai, as he likes to build himself.
Is that
himself.
What he's called?
Well, that's the what he calls himself. The whiskey samurai. The whiskey samurai.
Yeah. Actually, if I was making up a name for myself, I'd be along those lines very much.
Now,
you'd be
the Tino Sugar samurai.
The Tino Sugar hard man.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be.
Yeah. From Millionaire's Row.
No fucks given.
No, none. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I going to say?
I don't know.
So they get Trujillo and they all sit around a ballroom table and they go, "Trujillo, you know, we want you to join the band." He's like, "Oh man, you know."
That's so rad.
Stars, who's in no way showboating, goes, "And to demonstrate our commitment to you, we want to give you right now $1 million.
And Trujillo practically... weeps.
Yeah, well, so would I. If Stars was in this room now and he said, "I'm going to give you $1 million, I would take back every mean thing
I've
ever said about Stars.
You'd give him a blowjob for $1 million fucking dollars, mate. I can see you right now. Let me show you my four-string action, Lars. I love you."
Yeah, so Trujillo cops $1 million. I mean, Hetfield's at the back very quickly going, "Oh, it's recoupable. It's recoupable." It's just an advance.
Meanwhile, they in my days, so we're going back 30-odd years here, I remember they got, don't quote me, but they got an advance on merchandise for the next tour.
Yeah, probably, because the merchandise company had to pay that out. That's what they'll be doing when we go on tour.
$350 million.
We'll get a payout before the tour.
We will?
Yeah, oh,
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Definitely get a payout before the tour, half up front, definitely.
Half up front?
Or whatever,
That should cover the bus fare anyway.
Yeah, bus fare home. That's what you're getting.
The contract states, pint of wallop and your bus fare home. Yeah. Which I think is industry standard at the sort of level we're at.
But anyway, John 5.5, they sat him down. And he's thinking, "Oh, it's going to be like Trujillo. This is going to be like, this is where they give me the $1 million. And Six is like, "Give me your passport.
60. Nikki 60.
You're not really in the band, mate. Don't start thinking you're really in the band. We just want you on stage, you know."
Do you want my fly swatter?
Yeah, because there's
keeps jumping on your head.
On me.
Is it because, like in that program, you're actually a corpse, but still walking around?
Yeah.
That could be it.
I feel like that sometimes. Yeah.
And on that bombshell.
On that bombshell. So who's left now to speak on the crew? Because we've now heard from the crab. It's really only 5.5 who's not chipped in on this. Kept himself, as the crab says, there's really nothing you can say.
I tell you what. On a serious note, I would be intrigued to hear what Nikki has to say about all this, because you know what Tommy will say. I mean, He left. Yeah. Hey, why?
I thought he wasn't there. That's what Tommy was saying. I thought that wasn't Mick.
Yeah. It sounded like it because they're still using the same backing
same
tracks,
tapes. But I looked across. I thought, hang on, that's not...
And then he's like, you're saying the crab ain't here either. Yeah. What's going on, man?
Fucking crab, man.
Yeah. And on that bombshell, we will bid you...
Adieu.
Adieu.
That's the fly swatter.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I stop this, Fern?